People across the country are mourning the death of Corporal Nathan Cirillo today. Since his shooting death at the War Memorial in Ottawa, there's been an outpouring of sympathy for his family and his comrades in the Argyle and Sutherland Highlanders Reserve Force. Barbara Winters shares that feeling. She spent 17 years in the Naval Reserves, and she was one of those who came to the aid of Nathan Cirillo yesterday in the moments after he was attacked. We reached Ms. Winters in Ottawa.
Barbara, can you tell us when you first saw this young man whose life you tried to save yesterday?
I was on my way to a meeting, and I happened to have my digital camera in my purse, and I was a few minutes early for the meeting, so I just stopped, and I had just actually taken pictures of the two gentlemen standing there in honor, as the honor guard, and I was remarking to myself, what a beautiful day. It was the sun had come out, a clear October day, and there was a few clouds in the sky, but it was just a wonderful fall picture, and I got two pictures straight on of these gentlemen standing in front of the cenotaph, and then I have one with the apartment buildings in the background, and I had put my camera away, and I was walking away from the cenotaph and was down on Spark Street when I heard the shots.
And you turned around and you went back. Others were fleeing when they heard those shots. You returned. What was that instinct?
I don't know. Honestly, I like to say it's human instinct. I think it's human nature to run towards somebody to help them.
Well, it was for you. I'm not sure for everybody. But you did have, you weren't just running back to see. You had skills you thought you could bring. Yes.
Yeah, I had served in the Naval Reserve for a number of years, and part of that service was as a medical assistant. So I thought that I could be of some assistance, and I hope I was.
You were part of a team, weren't you? I mean, you started it, and then you were giving instructions, but you worked very closely with a group of others.
I mean, I wasn't really giving instructions. It was a team effort. When I got there, there was a nurse there already, and the corporal who was with the two honor guards at the time, there's always a third person with these honor guards, the nurse had her hand and was compressing one wound, and the corporal was compressing the other wound. There was a gentleman at his feet and another gentleman from the military at his head, and so I just slipped in between them, you know, where there was space.
And but you spoke to him, too, didn't
you? I did. I actually tried to speak to him the entire time.
What did you say to him?
Sorry. I told him he was loved and that he was a brave man and that he was a good man. And I said, just think of what you were doing when this happened. Just think, you were standing at the cenotaph. You were honoring others. Just think of how proud that will make your family. And I said, your parents are so proud of you. And your family must love you so much. And I looked for a wedding ring. I couldn't see one. I had gloves on. I couldn't tell. So I didn't want to say your wife. So I just kept saying, your family loves you. Your family loves you. Your military family loves you. I said, look at these people. We're all here helping you. We're all trying to do what we can for you. We all love you. I said, the military loves you. I said, listen, there's a colonel here helping you. And I just repeated that he was a brave man and that he was a good man and that he was loved and that he was respected and that his military comrades loved him and that his family loved him.
Do you think he heard you, Barbara?
I think he did. I had no indication. I think he did. He wasn't speaking. But I had had personal experience when I'd had a coma. I was in a coma and I could hear. I could hear everything.
So you knew that he could probably hear you then?
I did. I mean, I was hoping he could, and I just, at the end, you know, when the paramedics was there, I was just holding his head, and I was just telling him, I just kept trying to tell him, you're loved.
What instinct told you to speak to him about love?
Well, my parents died, and that's what we told them. I think you tell people when they're sick or when they're ill or when they're hurting that they're loved, because everybody's loved by somebody.
Barbara, you did a remarkable thing in all respects. I think everyone listening to this would be so proud of you. I can't imagine anyone doesn't want to hug you right now.
Oh, sorry. Thank you for saying that. But
what did you want to say? I know you. This is hard to speak today.
I just want most of all, I want his parents to know, and his family, and his son, that the people who were working on him, and it wasn't just me, they were all just there for him. There was nothing else in the world for the five of us when we were there except that man. Nobody did anything but try to help him. And I hope that's some comfort to his parents, that he didn't just bleed alone on a sidewalk, but that there was people talking to him and trying to help him. And that had their hands on him. So, you know, there's no comfort in this situation. There's none. But if there was comfort, I hope that is comfort for them.
Is there anyone with you now before I say goodbye to you? Do you have someone?
My sister, Marianne, and my nephew, Michael, have been over and helping me last night and tonight.
Well, Barbara, I'll tell you, you are not alone anywhere in this country today, because everyone is with you and what you've had to say about this man. And I thank you so much for sharing these moments with us.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Barbara Winters is a lawyer and a former naval reservist. She was in Ottawa.